Been watching this Wells Fargo story, you know, where they had 5,300 employees slowly fired because they were basically pushed and coerced into creating false accounts so they'd make more money. Anyways, the president of the company basically had an option, right? He was entitled to $41 million in bonuses and money. And I guess he could have taken it and quit. Instead, he's not taking the money. He's not going to get it, but he gets to keep his job. What would you have done? Would you have taken the $41 million and said, I'm leaving this company, that's it? Or would you just not take it and just keep your job? So we're going to be back in a moment to find out where to go with open line calls. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Good to be with you. George Norrie here, and let us go to the phones. John in Canada, international line. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. I hope you're doing well.
I'm not doing too good the last couple of days, but that's okay.
What do you mean? What's wrong?
The poisons and things that happened to me in the factory where I worked, just they can do anything to you at any time.
They're in your system, and they're hitting you now, right?
Heavy metals and that poison. It was a crop spray, PPC, was it?
Yeah.
And a pull of that, and they never leave your system. And I didn't want to get into all that. I just got a couple of things if I could go through that quickly.
All right.
The area where we live now, we used to come up here camping. When we were kids, my mom and dad bring us up.
Now you have houses everywhere, right?
Pardon?
Now you have houses everywhere.
Yeah, the house, in this, right in the same area nearly. I'm only about 15 miles from where we used to camp. But this whole area was well known for the birds and the butterflies and the bats. You know, at night you could sit out. They used to sit out. You'd throw a little stone or something up in the air, and the bat would dive down on it. Thinking it's a bird.
Thinking it's some food or an insect or something.
Yeah. But there's none of that now. They're gone. I haven't seen a blue jay or a cardinal especially, but nothing.
Where'd they go?
Well, this spraying that you get in the air in the face, we're getting it here now, and we've been getting it here for a while. But they do it strictly at night. And the whole sky goes really funny. It's almost like Aurora Borealis.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like that. You see it. You can see it. It's really strange, and it's a funny color. And I think that's what is causing this mold around the bats' mouths and the bees not being able to find their way back to the hive. I saw one bee this summer. The only birds we get around here now is the ever accountable robin.
The old reliable robin bird. Things are changing, John.
Big time here. But
it's everywhere.
Okay, there's two things quick.
Well, that was one. You get one more.
I just wanted to, if you could ask your audience, maybe they can hear me anyway. Do they get funny things going on with their phone while they're either calling into you or waiting online?
What do you mean, like, funny things?
Oh, like I told you, I heard people walking around. I could hear women's high heels clicking on the floor, and they're talking about your show. And then all of a sudden, as it would become really close that you're on the air or either just starting on the air, you hear everybody, you hear someone, get up. Like somebody else. And one night just recently, while on, ringing, I could hear, it was like I was listening over speakerphone. It was ringing. Then all of a sudden, it's like I could hear somebody else, a number of people, listening to you and talking and hearing the phone ring on the other end of my phone. It's like your show is being monitored all the time.
Well, it sounds like you're being monitored.
Well, I never get it except when I phone your show.
Well, that's why they want to listen to why you're listening.
I don't know.
That is strange. It's not on our end. Yeah, it's something to do with your phone. That's strange. Text messages, tweets. What do you have, Tommy?
This is a tweet, but first I want to ask you, when you were growing up, was it hard for you to keep a secret?
No, it was not.
Well, because the Vegas thing.
Who used to call us and say, can you, oh, was that UFO
Phil? That was UFO
Phil.
Can you keep a secret?
He doesn't call anymore.
Yeah.
He listens to his song, I
But
bet.
Back to letting the cat out of the bag.
Oh, you're talking about Vegas?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It was never revealed to me to be a secret, nor have I signed a non-compete or a public disclosure agreement.
All right, it's not worth going into. Anyway.
And I said it was possible.
You did say it was possible, that's true, but then it's a big letdown if it doesn't happen.
Wouldn't you like to get people interested in it? So now you have people who may never have gone to Vegas. They're thinking, hey, maybe next year, sometime in October, who knows when, we'll spend a weekend in Las Vegas and go see George at his event.
You're very good at justifying, but I'm pretty sure that it will be announced in January. Anyway.
See, I just jumped the gun because I broke the story first.
Or you can't keep secrets.
It's not a secret. Nobody told me it was a secret.
We have a tweet and says, hey, George. Actually,
would you take the $41 million and quit?
No, hard. Hold on.
Or would you keep your job?
If I worked for Wells Fargo, not here.
No, here, but you and I will negotiate your departure later. And let me tell you, it's not going to be $41 million.
Well, Wells Fargo in a heartbeat.
You would have take the money and go.
In a heartbeat.
And just say enough is enough.
Change life, do good things for people. Yeah. So this is a tweet. Hey there, George. Do you think they will ever find Jimmy Hoffa?
Ah, what a great story. A story so dear to me. No, they'll never find him.
Nah.
It'll be a fluke, maybe a fluke. Somebody who will actually say, this is where he is. But I think he, you know, he was ground up and he's gone.
Think he's in the ocean or something?
Well, he's, you know, just they shot him in a car. And then they took him somewhere, and the body's been disposed of, and they'll never find it again. It's not like they buried him. It's gone. It's a
terrible way to go.
Jimmy Hoffa. All because he wanted to come back. Two reasons. Two reasons he got killed. He wanted to come back and be the president of the Teamsters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knew about the Kennedy assassination because I think he was on the inside.
I think he did.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's go to Al in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show. Al, hello there.
Hey, you know what, George?
Yes, sir.
You got some wonderful callers tonight. They gave me a great idea.
Yeah, they are good people.
Especially when they talked about candy bar. You know, George, if you crack open them 57-foot trailers of Sky Bars you have, you can finance your next presidential election.
I don't have any more right now, but I have to order some.
Well, you better send me another one. Do you remember that you
I did
me?
Mail you one. That's right.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I appreciated it. And it didn't last long.
Those were great.
It did not last long. Hey, George, what I wanted to touch base with you on, tell me what you think of this.
All right.
This has been bothering me for quite some time. I have a number of metal joints in my body, knees, hips, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And as a lot of other people do. What happens to these funeral homes when they cremate these bodies? What do they do with the scrap parts?
I think they sell it off.
I think that's illegal.
It might be, but I think that's what they do.
You have these people that...
These are like titanium pieces and stuff like that, right?
That's expensive stuff.
That is expensive.
I scrap me, don't
That's right.
Because I'm worth a lot of money.
Take it all. You're right.
But I think that they should somebody should look into that because you have these grieving spouses that aren't worried about those things at that time, and that could be extra money for them.
I would guess. I would hope that most of these places would say, "Here are his remains," including, you know, all these little pieces of metal and scraps and gold teeth and stuff. But I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think you're going to get too many little dusty pieces out of titanium.
No.
You know, somebody should look into that.
And you're not going anyplace soon.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be around for a while.
Well, I don't know. I just got diagnosed, so.
Of what?
Thyroid cancer.
Oh. That's beatable.
Well, that's what they tell me.
You get the thyroid taken out, and you get, you know, you take your pill, and you move on.
That's what they tell me.
All right. Keep in touch with us on that, will you?
Send me those sky bars.
Okay. Send me that email. Need your address again. Let's go to John in Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, John. Thank you.
Man, it was kind of weird, y'all, talking about Jimmy Hoffa. I'm a member of the Teamsters.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, the locomotive engineers. Well, I was calling a couple of years ago. We was running a train from Alexander to New Orleans. It was probably about 3:30, 4 in the morning. Coming around this curve, and there's a bunch of woods on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And from the rail, it's probably at least 5-6 miles to any kind of road or anything.
Right.
And they have like 5 or 6 teenage boys, all dressed in white, standing next to the track. And yep. I'm looking, I'm thinking, man, y'all see that right? And I turned the conductor to see if he's sleeping or see if he noticed it. And right when I look at him, he's looking at me. He said, did you see that?
I mean, what were they dressed as? I mean, were they ghosts?
It was like this. No, it wasn't. It wasn't ghosts. It was like you just had like white pants and white shirt.
That's it.
That's it.
And they were almost on the tracks or right on the side.
Yeah, right on the side, like pretty much at the edge of the woods.
Just jeez, strange.
Kind of standing there. Yeah.
How'd you like to be walking through the woods with them out there?
Yeah, it'd be pretty spooky.
You don't want that. Hey, great. That's a cool story. That's one of those Halloween stories. Speaking of that, soon, keep your eyes open on the website for your Halloween stories. We'll need you to type up the story as concisely as you can with your phone number, and we'll try to get you on Ghost to Ghost on Halloween night on that Monday, October 31st. Or we'll read the stories, too. But definitely keep looking for the website. Probably sometime next week that will happen. Let's go to Susan in Tucson, Arizona. Susan, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a story to tell. It's kind of like one of those out of One Step Beyond.
Ooh.
Remember that show?
My favorite shows.
Yeah, my sister and I, we went to a nightclub. This was years and years ago. And she was with her boyfriend in one car, and my brother and I and his friend were in another car. And on the way home, they both fell asleep in the car, and they hit a big oak tree. They were swerving off the road, and there was nothing we could do about it. We were following them. And,
oh.
I know, and she almost died. She had so many broken bones, they had to call in a specialist to put her together.
What a horrible thing to happen.
I know. It was just, I was in shock. And, well, the next day we went and we told my grandmother what happened. And she said that very night, at the same time that my sister hit that tree, she thought a car had run into her bedroom wall because it was facing the road. And it
wow.
hit so hard, it almost threw her off the bed. And she said she went outside and she looked.
Nothing.
Into the yard, and there was nothing there. There was not, there was no car, there was no dent, there was nothing. Everything was really quiet.
At the same time they hit the oak tree.
At the same time, yes. So that was really, that was shocking.
Did she possess these kinds of abilities? I mean, I'm
yes,
wondering.
She did.
Yeah.
Yes, she did. When my grandfather was dying, she saw somebody going between her house and the neighbor's house. I think they called it a gangway or a gang. And she saw them walking with a candle, a woman walking with a candle dressed in black and a veil over her head. So she did have these abilities. Yeah. I mean, there's so many stories, but she did. She thought someone had rammed into her house, and it was at exactly
that's
the
remarkable.
Same time.
That is something.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a true story.
I love it. Susan, thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Appreciate that. We've got Garth now in Sandpoint, Idaho. That happens to be west of the Rockies, of course. Hi, Garth.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Now, all is well. Thank you.
Okay. So two things real quick in regards to the debate. I think you'd have to agree that Clinton won that debate.
Well, you can't do that, unfortunately. She was more polished, I'll tell you that, but everybody that I've talked to, they say that Donald won.
Well, and see, that's kind of the mentality. We sort of have this sort of a kind of hateful, blameful mentality, and you're not taking enough things into consideration when you consider who should be president of the United States. The problem with someone like Donald Trump being president in this political climate is that he's so volatile, he's so dangerous. We got people all over the planet that are real interested in hurting us and hurting any kind of free nation, any free state.
Yes.
And this guy is offensive as hell, and he's going to offend a lot of people. And the people that would they're interested in doing that kind of harm are motivated, and they don't give a damn about themselves. They have a quest. They're interested in hurting people, and he's like the caveat. You know, he's what justifies their actions.
So the big question is, over the next two debates, do you think that people will finally say, this is the candidate I want, whichever it might be?
You know what? I think people have already made up their minds. I'm not sure that the debates really matter. And it may not even matter that your vote even matters.
Make a prediction for me.
Well, I think everything's already bought and paid for, just like it has been. You know what I mean? Clinton won't be president, and that's all fine and good. Thank God for that. But, you know, maybe not, because I thought Gore was a lock in 2000. I couldn't believe it.
I think he thought he was a lock.
What's that?
I think he thought he was a lock, too.
Yeah, right. You know, I couldn't believe when they chose W. I was like, woohoo, we got a cakewalk here.
Well, you know, here's the other problem, too. Hacking. Bev Harris from Black Box Voting has said on this very program that these election boxes can be hacked, and they're starting to talk about it now. So this whole thing is going to be... I'll tell you one thing, though. I have never seen an election that has brought out so much hatred and bitterness on both sides. Absolutely out of control. I mean, what happened to the days of speech and open and, hey, that's my candidate, that's your candidate, and may the best person win? I mean, it is so bitter. It's truly unbelievable. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and come back with some more open line calls for you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. And all of you who have not had an opportunity to become Coast Insiders, just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. It's 15 cents a day. You really will like it. It's a great tool to become part of the program. And when I come back, of course, we'll have one more text or tweet for Tom. We'll take the rest of your calls, and then I'll tell you what's in store for the rest of the week as well. Tomorrow's already Wednesday. How quickly time goes by. Email me, too, at george@coasttocoastam.com. Well, special shout-out to Alicia and her friends in an Uber car in St. Louis, listening to Coast. Hello, folks. Have a great time. On our next Coast to Coast program, pharmacist Ben joins us for a couple hours, followed by Jim Harold and his very strange ghost stories. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Let us go back to the calls. We'll go to Dean in Sherman Oaks, California. First-time caller for you, Dean. Hi there.
Hi, George. How's it going?
Good to have you with us. What's going on?
Hey, I want to talk about dreams, but real quick on the election.
Yeah.
You know, my girlfriend she just hates Trump, and I just hate Hillary.
That's going to be an interesting relationship.
And you know, I was just thinking while I was listening to you. You know, it's not going to end when I don't know who's going to win. But next year, if Trump wins, she's going to be saying, "Oh, you voted for him. It's your fault."
Oh, absolutely. And you're going to get half of the people in the country who will be ticked off about the other half.
It's not going to. It's just going to be worse.
Yeah, it is.
So that's what I'm.
Well,
thinking.
Good luck.
Well, I want to talk about dreams. It's kind of something I guess weird that I do, and I think that other people may be listening to your station does this too, to Coast to Coast. I love your first 10 or 15 minutes when you talk about news.
Mm-hmm.
It comes on at like 10:08 or so.
Yeah, and, exactly.
I listen to that, and then I fall asleep. And whatever comes out, like Linda Moulton Howe or Steve Quayle or yourself, you know, you tell great stories. I'll dream of those, of what's going on.
You probably still hear them a little bit.
The radio's on. I hear it, and I start dreaming about it. A couple months ago, you were talking about you were in your daughter's garage and you found. You were looking in a box for
her little hi-ho people from the Disney characters.
And yeah. I saw the whole thing. I was looking at it, and I was you were opening the box, and there I saw the colors. But what's really great about your show is I don't know that I'm doing this, but at 2:15 or so, I wake up and then I listen to you live, or I listen to you. And I go, oh, I dreamt about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I
okay.
dreamt about that. And anyway, I just was just wondering if anybody else does that. And I was thinking that, you know, people might not, fall asleep and then listen to it. Probably a lot of people do. But with your Coast Insider, you know.
Well, listen whenever you want then.
Then you can listen whatever you want. And you might go, oh, wait a second. I thought that was my dream. But really, it was. You just picked it up from, you know, like somebody hunting Bigfoot in Oregon, and next thing you know, you're dreaming about it, and you don't really know that it's kind of added. You've picked it up from your show.
No, that's absolutely right, Dean. Thanks. Got a call tonight, voicemail call and emails from one of our listeners, who thought he saw me in a different state, not in St. Louis area, not in Missouri. But in a way different state, way out there in Utah. And he swore it was me. And it turns out to be the lieutenant governor of that state or something. And he said, your doppelganger is out there. They're out there, indeed. Okay, let's take another call. Let's go to Jay in Florida. Hey, Jay, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. So I kind of wanted to get into a little bit with kind of end times, prophecy,
sure,
and biblical, and even more so, because I was asking Tom about this, with this Israeli leader that died. I find that very telling as far as Israel goes. Do you happen to know what they're reporting his cause of death was?
Well, he was getting up there in age, to be sure, and I don't have the exact cause, but he was fighting some ailments for some time.
I just can't help but wonder what strings or powers may have been behind that, as that tends to be at times. Our first threat obviously is the economy.
Tommy's telling me he was 93, but he had a stroke 2 weeks ago, and then he was getting better, and then he deteriorated. So that's what happened to him.
And what was his name?
Shimon Peres. He's the former Israeli president.
Shimon Peres.
P-E-R-E-S.
And when did his leadership end? I can't think of the proper word for that, his term or whatever.
4-6 years ago, Netanyahu took over. They kept switching. You know, one would come in, another would come out, another would come in, another would come out. They've been around for a long time.
Okay. So, you know, our first immediate threat outside of, terrorism and weather is, you know, this economic collapse. And a friend of mine just got an email this morning saying that basically it's going to be September 30th. And people may not be aware, the corporate year comes to an end October 1st, which happens to fall on a weekend this year.
Yeah, the quarter's ending. Here we go.
So October 3rd will be that Monday. Now, what I've heard is that they're going to make whatever kind of announcement. And the date I've been seeing for the longest time, I believe including from your guest, Jonathan Kahn, if that is his name.
The Shemitah date. That's right.
possibly some other guests you've had, but the date I keep seeing, especially on YouTube, is September 27th, which we just had.
Rich, you know, and so far, so good.
Well, nothing's happened.
Nothing yet.
And the other latest I saw was December, as far as just what the economy goes. I'm very worried about this tsunami. They're saying it's, people are having these, you know, dreams and visions and things and prophecies. And whenever the poles shift, if you know anything about that, I just heard something about that. It's when the poles shift, if you lived anywhere near the coast, well, you may just be in trouble.
Well, you're toast if a major tsunami hits. If an asteroid hits the ocean, the coasts are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are simply wiped out. Let's take a little tweet or a text from you, Tom. What do you have back there in the studio?
It'll be a text from Ginger in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Is there something you really believe in that you didn't believe in 10 years ago?
Is there something I really believe in that I didn't believe 10 years ago?
Good question, huh?
No, I think my belief system has been pretty constant.
Yeah.
Especially since I've been doing this program, which is going on 14 years.
It's a good question, but yeah, you know, constant. I agree with you.
Before I started doing the show, I wasn't into the conspiracies other than Kennedy's assassination as much as I am now. You know, I believe we went to the moon and things like that. But some of the other conspiracies like world domination, one world government, I really didn't get into that. But afterwards, you know, listening to Alex Jones and doing my own homework and research, there's something to that.
You want to know the first thing, and you don't know this, that I really didn't know about or necessarily believe in that I did when I worked on this, started working on this show?
What's that?
The old hag.
Oh, the old hag syndrome.
I remember that first.
We got to do an open line on a Friday with the old hag syndrome.
I remember thinking the first month, different people from all around were giving the same story.
Somebody just sent me an email and said, on a Friday, you've got to do some open lines on, did you do a deal with the devil? How many people did a deal with the devil?
Well, there's a lot of musicians they think did.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
That's right.
How do you even do that? What do you do? Like conjure him up
conjure
and say
up.
You want to make a deal?
Yeah, you just, you know, try to talk to him and beg to him. Okay, thanks, Tom. Okay. Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. It's your turn, Frank.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
Hello there.
I'm going to talk about the Kennedy assassination, and Dan Rather surprised me when he said he thought Oswald was the lone gunman. But I have to leave that alone till next time. I want to mention something about the election.
All right.
Donald Trump, why I can't support him. He could have won this thing. He could have won this thing had he held his mouth. But it started with the asinine thing he said about John McCain and all veterans. He didn't like John McCain because he got captured behind enemy lines. The man suffered torture almost every day for the 7 years he was captured. Then he will insult people. Then 2 days later, he's asking them for their support and wonders why they won't support him. Now, everything I say, just check the record. I'm not making up things. He called Bernie Sanders a communist. And then 2 days later, he wanted Bernie Sanders supporters. All right. And then he's uncouth. You haven't heard that word in a long time. He's uncouth. He's a crybaby. He complains about the media's mistreating him when the media is what made him. They gave him all this free time that they didn't give any other candidates. And
how do you really feel about him, Frank?
I'll tell you how I really feel about him. How can you say he won this debate? He won the first third of it because he kept interrupting Lester Holt and he kept talking beyond his time.
Well, this is what's going on. I mean, other than the CNN poll, and none of these polls is scientific. None is scientific, and that's the way to say it. So the margin of error is huge, but he's slaughtering Hillary on all the other ones other than CNN. I don't know of any others that he's not winning.
Listen.
But again, not scientific.
These two candidates have so much baggage, it would take 25 or 30 to take their luggage off the, to pick their baggage off the train or the plane.
If you could write in none of the above, would you do that?
Well, I'll tell you quickly. When my father came home from World War II, he was serving in the Navy. He raised a family. He said, I said, you guys got to vote now. My sisters and brothers said, you got to vote. And I said, Daddy, what if Strom Thurmond was running against George Wallace? And then he said, oh, those two? Well, you stay home, and then you overthrow the winner.
Huh. Well, that was the old military. I don't want a coup this time, do you?
No, but one will win, and one will lose. But like I said, they both have baggage. But I don't want a race, a campaign that's backward and primitive. Why couldn't we have a good guy like General Colin Powell running? I know he doesn't want to run, but a guy like him that wouldn't go over the top with this silliness in the campaign, talking instead of the issues, they're talking about personal things. During the campaign, Trump called a sitting United States senator a boy. What if he had called Cory Booker a boy, Senator Booker from New Jersey?
Yeah.
I mean, if the guy had a civilized instead of a backward primitive approach, he could have won the thing because we're looking for an outsider to come in. And then if he wants to bring jobs back to America, why don't he stop making his ties and clothes in Bangladesh and the poorest country in the world?
I know it. You've done too much homework, Frank.
Oh, there's plenty more, but you don't have time to.
I know it. I know that's a full show all by itself. You know what? I've said it before. We're really not a political show, not like the daytime talk show hosts. But it's a presidential election, and you can't just ignore it. I mean, these are things that are going to affect all of us for the next 4 years, and who knows how long after that. Let's go to Linda in Florida now. Welcome to the show. Hi, Linda. Good to have you with us.
Hi, George. I'm sorry. It's about the election again and the debate, but Donald Trump flew into Melbourne Airport tonight.
That's right. That's right.
And we tried to get in. I went, I think, when George W. was running the first time. You had no problem getting in. There were so many people. It was just astounding. The hangar was full. They had to turn people away.
And these are people cheering and happy, right?
They were happy, and his plane flew over because we heard this, you know, plane coming in low, and this big plane comes in and it said Trump on it, and the people were just happy just to see the plane. And they knew they weren't going to get in. They go, well, at least we were here. We supported it. And I'll tell you, there was a lot of young people. I was surprised.
Oh, no, there are lots of young people. I know many in the St. Louis area that are supporting Donald Trump as well.
Well, from the reports that I hear, it's, you know, it's different, but I was just amazed at the crowd, and everyone was just so supportive of each other, and they weren't upset that they couldn't get in. Of course, we wanted to, but it was just amazing. And real quick, I mean, I don't want to go into detail, but my next-door neighbor's son works for the State Department, and he's had a real bad run-in with Hillary, so I know this isn't perfect. It is crazy, but I just wanted to report that the Trump rally was just unbelievably packed. So, but thank you for taking my call, George.
Okay, you're welcome. We've got less than 2 months, and the election will happen. And we'll see. We'll see if they get enough electoral votes. And regardless, you got to support who wins. I mean, that's what our democracy is all about, folks. You got to support who wins. Jeff in Kansas, let's squeeze you in here, Jeffrey. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, George.
Sure.
I have something. I was listening to Coast to Coast a week ago this past Sunday.
Okay.
And I've never heard anything like this. The host, I'm not going to name names, but was going to have about a 4-hour show on UFOs. And he says well, if you don't like this subject matter, then maybe this isn't the show for you, and you could go listen to something else. And not quote unquote. And I thought, wow, I haven't ever heard any host saying, you know, get lost, basically. And that week there was about, almost 8 hours of UFO shows. But this particular host that shows up once in a while on Sunday night seems to really like UFOs and doesn't, he does have other subjects, but.
Oh, he's very good at the UFOs.
Yeah, very good at UFOs, you can tell. But I've never heard of anybody saying.
We've done that. You know, there are some times where something that's very sensitive that comes on, and I will specifically say, you might not want to listen to this, folks. This is so disturbing. You're not going to like it. And that's what he meant, that, you know, it was an intensive UFO program. And some people don't want to listen to UFOs. So that's why he was saying that. And we give our hosts the latitude to be able to say that, because we care about you as an audience member, to be sure. So we've got another series of great programs for you tomorrow night, so stick with us. I look forward to talking to you when the clock hits at whatever your time zone is. I'll be there. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.